Desire your prayers this morning as we consider the word of the Lord for a little while. Appreciate everyone that is here. So the desire that you had to be here, the only thing I know how to invite people to service is come hungry, because God always has something to fill your soul. To bless you, we're thankful for that. We depend on the Lord greatly today. Desire your prayers. I'd like to talk about something that I feel is very important to us, and that is moral freedom. Moral freedom. It's probably the most glorious endowment that God has given to mankind is our moral freedom. The freedoms that we enjoy today have come at a great price. Yet, we all have the freedom to believe what we choose to believe. No one can force you to believe something you don't want to believe. God Himself gives you and I that right to believe what we want to believe. We know that that is part of the history of the founding of this country. The pilgrims left England to come over here so that they could exercise their moral freedom to worship the Lord in the way that their convictions led them. And I'm thankful that still yet today in this country we have a right, so far, to believe what we want to believe, to embrace what we want to embrace, and may God help you and I that whatever we believe, that we will have conviction to believe what we believe, that it will be so in our hearts and in our lives. More importantly than money, more importantly than things, than gold and silver, is it to you and I today, for the future of our eternal soul, of what you and I believe. What you believe is very important. And why you believe it is probably going to have a lot to do with what you're willing to accept in your own mind and in your own heart. Let me remind you about 14 years ago when there were some men that hijacked some of our planes, flew them into the Twin Towers in New York City and the Pentagon, and the one that went down in Pennsylvania. They did what they did because of what they believed. And they were told that this was the right thing to do. And after they, when they got on the other side of eternity, after they died, that there'd be a bunch of virgins over there waiting for them. And they supposedly believed those kind of things. I'm thankful this morning that we have the moral freedom and the moral liberty to believe what God has instilled in our hearts as to be the real truth of His precious Word. You can tell me a lot of things and explain a lot of things to me, and maybe you could even try to expect me to believe things that I really have a hard time believing. But when it comes out of the Word of God, that's when I'm willing to believe it. Whenever I know that God's Word supports it, stands behind it, and backs up what I believe this morning. I look around our world and I find that it is really pitiful what some people believe. It's really sad. And it hurts. It hurts me to think that people believe those things. His wife and I was talking about some of that last night. And I said, you know, I can't be reminded of those things, except that I be reminded that God's Word says, because they receive not a love for the truth. It's important that you and I have a love for the Word of God. Because the Word of God is truth. The Word of God will never change. It's forever settled in heaven. And the Word of God is what you and I are going to be judged by. We're going to be judged by it, every one of us. Whether we believe it or not, we're going to be judged by it. It would be good for us and wise for us if we believed it while we were here on this side of eternity. And be willing to humble our hearts and submit to God's working in my mind and in my heart, that He could teach me His ways more perfectly for my life. More of freedom. Let's look at a scripture. Galatians, the 5th chapter, in the 1st verse, begin reading. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." If you've been saved and delivered from sin, and you're endeavoring to live for the Lord, the devil's not satisfied with that. And he will continue to work on your mind to try to get things in your mind to believe things that you ought not to believe in order to bring you back into bondage again. Now look what Paul is saying here to the folks at Galatia. He said, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." There's always been this big thing about, you know, God required of Abraham circumcision. That was the law, wasn't it? He required of that from Abraham, and he required of that from his sons and his family and on down. But Paul is trying to teach these folks that we have a liberty. We have a moral freedom today. Stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free. The Bible says that the law was the schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. I appreciate the law. I appreciate what the law teaches us. Without the commandments, man would not know what more morality really was. He wouldn't know that he wasn't to steal. He wouldn't know that he shouldn't lie. He wouldn't know a lot of these things. But God give the people back there under the law of government a morality to cause them to begin to teach man to understand that what it's really going to mean for you and I to have the liberty that we have in Christ today, being made free from sin. I'm free from the law. The law doesn't tell me today that I have to be circumcised. It doesn't tell me that I have to do a lot of things that it says. It doesn't tell me that if I find my brother doing wrong, that I'm going to take him out and I'm going to stone him to death. I don't do that anymore. Jesus brought us a moral freedom today. We have a liberty today under Christ. And we don't do those things that they once did under the law. The Bible says the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And the letter, it was very strict. It was very rigid in those days. But Jesus came that you and I could have some liberty. And I'll talk about that liberty a little bit this morning. If you and I are to gain a saint's reward, we talk about saints. If you and I are to gain a saint's reward in heaven, we must live a saintly life here on this earth. It is true. We must live according to the law of Christ. Not the old law, but the law of Christ. He didn't come, the Bible says, to do away with the old law, but He came to fulfill it. And the law is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So I have a moral freedom this morning to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I do want to keep his commandments. But his commandments came. He came and he did change some things. I don't have to go out when I go in and make sacrifice to the Lord. I don't have to go out and build an altar of stones and go get me an animal and kill it and flay it and put it all over the altar and the blood and all that. I don't have to do that anymore. Jesus Christ did that for me. And I'm glad I have a moral liberty and a moral freedom to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I want us to... Oh, Lord, help us to get a hold of some things this morning. How you and I live, we are to live it for ourselves, and no one else can live it for us. If you will live a life of Christ, you will live it for yourself. No one else will be able to live it for you. And I want to remind you that God has great concern for our spiritual warfare. He knows we're in a battle. He knows we're in a warfare. And He has great concern for that this morning. And although He's grieved with our imperfections, and every one of us are imperfect in the flesh. Although He's grieved with our imperfections, He has great respect for your moral liberty. You'll never find God coming down and forcing you to believe or say anything that He wants you to believe or say. He won't force that upon you. He will convict you. He will send His Spirit and He will deal with you, but He will not force Himself on any one of us. You know, and what I'm going to say here this morning is important. As I said, this has to do with our eternal soul. What I believe, what I accept for truth. And I didn't finish my text a while ago. Because they received not a love for the truth, God sent them strong delusion that they would believe a lie. Folks, there are many today that have been sent strong delusion by God. And they have believed a lie today, and they're going to stand by that until they draw their last breath. And when they wake up in eternity, they're going to wish they would have had a love for the truth. They're going to wish they'd have had a love for the truth. You know, there's a lot of man rule in the world today. There's a lot of man rule in religions. And I don't mean to offend anyone here by speaking of different religions, but I was reading in the paper this past week, earlier in the week, that at that day, back in the, I think, 1500s, Pope Pius IX, one of the popes of the Catholic Church, declared that Mary was immaculation on Mary, that she was born without sin. That's what he declared. Man declared that thing. Folks, let us be careful what man declares. We have a moral freedom. We have a freedom that we don't have to believe what man says. That's man rule. And because this Pope stood up and declared immaculate conception for Mary and determined that she was not born into sin, didn't need a Savior. Folks, Mary needed a Savior. There's only one that was born without sin, and that's Jesus Christ. And any one of us that would try to bring someone up to the place where Christ is, folks, we are deceived. And we're believing a lie. He said He would send a strong delusion and they'd believe a lie and be damned. Lord, help us this morning. This is serious. This is very serious. And I have a moral freedom that I don't have to go along and believe all that stuff that's out there in the world today. I don't have to believe that Jesus wasn't born in the Holy Ghost. I don't have to believe a lot of that stuff that they're teaching out in the world today. But I have a moral freedom, and you have a moral freedom too. And Paul said, stand fast in the liberty that you have in Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage us this morning. You better stand fast. If there ever was a time When the enemy is working through deception, it is today. He is working through deception. There are things out there today that grieve me, that people will accept and that they will imbibe in. Do you know that simple things, to me simple, maybe not to everyone, but people out there are believing that there was a time when man was fighting the battle of Armageddon. Man believes that maybe the time is still coming that man's going to fight the battle of Armageddon. Folks, let me tell you this morning, if you will rightly divide the word of truth, if you will take one scripture and weigh it out on the other scripture, God gives you the moral freedom, the moral liberty to learn and determine that Armageddon is the battle between right and wrong, and we're all in that battle this morning. Armageddon's going on right now. It isn't some war that you're going to see out there on the battlefield. It isn't blood and guts all over the place, folks. You and I are fighting against right and wrong. We're fighting against the enemy of our souls, and that is Armageddon. We have the spiritual liberty, freedom, believe whatever we want. Wife brought up another subject last night, something she read. She doesn't believe it. And that is the rapture. People believe that there's going to come a time where there's going to be the rapture. And they use the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians and talk about the rapture. The Lord's going to come and rapture up His people, and then there's going to be turmoil for 1,000 years, and then Christ is going to come back and He's going to set up. Folks, this is utter nonsense. It's utter nonsense. The Bible doesn't support it. If you rightly divide the Scriptures, I've seen so many people that I've loved, want to go over there in Revelations, and they want to get out, pull out these kind of things out of Revelation, and the devil's right there waiting on them to cause them to believe things they shouldn't believe. They don't even know what they're dealing with. They don't even know what they're talking about. You're in a battle, folks. You're in a battle for your freedom. Moral freedom. The right to stand up and live a righteous and a holy life. The right to stand up and live godly. Right here, Paul said, in this present world. We're in a battle for that. The enemy's fighting every one of us. But I'm here to tell you this morning, by the help of the Lord, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that is all utter nonsense. It is all wrong, and it is meant to deceive and cause people to lose their souls in a devil's hell. And it needs to be cried out against. Oh, some people waiting for the Antichrist. Waiting for the Antichrist to come. Folks, the Bible tells us the Antichrist is a spirit. And everything that is against Christ is Antichrist. The Antichrist is here. It's been here. He's been here. And it's a spirit working in the hearts and the minds of men and women today. People that reject Christ, reject His teachings, reject His Word. Antichrist. I can take you over there in the 1 John and I can show you where He said that the Spirit of Christ, Antichrist, is a spirit. And it is a spirit today. We need to get a hold of some things, saints. We need to get rooted and grounded and settled and established in some things, because people are believing things that's going to damn their souls.
Yes, that's true.
They're believing things. But we have a moral freedom today. And we must exercise our moral liberty. I want you to exercise your moral liberty. And when I say that, I don't mean that you take everything that every Tom, Dick, and Harry comes along and tells you that it's true and expect you to believe it, but you exercise your moral liberty and you be sure that what you believe is founded on the principles of God's Word. And you rightly divide it. You don't take one thing over here, well, God must have meant this and this is what's going to happen, when there's another scripture over here that plainly explains what that scripture is talking about. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. It doesn't refute itself, folks. We need to exercise our moral freedom today. 1 Corinthians 9 and 22. Look at a scripture with me there, if you would. 1 Corinthians 9 and 22. He said here, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Let me explain something here this morning. Paul is not giving you and I the liberty to go out and serve the flesh. But he says, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak." I want us to understand the apostle Paul, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He said he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was one that taught and lived the truth of God's Word. And he was not saying that I got down on their level and lived the way they lived. But he was saying that he got down in his spirit and he understood where they lived. And he learned how to reach out to them and how to bless them and encourage them and lift them up to a higher plane. Not everyone has the ability to do that. But the Apostle Paul did. We must serve God, every one of us, from a righteous principle in our hearts. Do you know, people say, "I don't know why you folks do this and you folks don't do that." There is a principle given in the Word of God, and I can take you all the way back to the first chapter of Leviticus. And I can begin to give you the principles of purity. The principles of holiness. You can read it. It's in there. There's a principle. And we need to have a principle, a righteous principle in our hearts. And that you and I can exercise our moral freedom to believe what is right. There is a world full of wrong out there. There's a world full of deception out there. Jesus told the disciples when they asked him in the 24th chapter of Matthew about the end of time and the destruction of Jerusalem, he told them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." You know, when I was a young boy, growing up in our congregation there in Dayton, there were several brothers. I can name them all. I won't do that. There were several brothers in our congregation. Just didn't seem to be totally satisfied with what our pastor was teaching. And they would hear about someone over here. They'd hear about someone over there. And they'd go and listen to them. I saw it with my own eyes, folks. They'd go and they'd listen to them, and then they'd come back to the congregation and they'd say, "Oh, you ought to go here, Brother so-and-so. He's such a wonderful preacher. He is so this and he's so that." And the core of the congregation stayed right there. They stayed right there. I can name three brothers. There's more. There were more. And they went out and they heard about this one and they went and listened to this one. And then they went out there and they listened to that one. And folks, the terror of it all, the terror of it all is that all three of those brothers that I'm thinking about this morning died with confusion in their hearts. They did not know when they died what was really right and what was really wrong. Any time, folks, that we step outside the will of God, and any time we want to take our own way and do our own thing, let me tell you, the devil is right there to meet you and see to it. You'll be deceived. He'll see to it. He'll meet you there. Going out and reading things and things that other people have wrote and things that other people say. And they don't have any real spiritual life in them. You don't know anything about them. You don't know anything about their background. But you want to go out and hear what they got to say. You don't know anything about the lives that they're living. But you want to go out and hear what they got to say. Folks, this thing has been a concern of mine all my life. Ever since I saw that as a young boy and saw what that would do, you and I this morning stand fast in the liberty that you have in Jesus Christ. And don't you be going around out there and accepting this little thing and accepting that little thing when you know that the Spirit of God is not in that. The Spirit of God is not blessing that. You go where the Spirit of God is working. And where the Spirit of God is anointing. That's where you go. And that's who you listen to. Not because he's a special man or a special person, but because God is speaking through the man. Folks, when you're listening to a preacher preach, you ought to be able to look beyond the preacher and hear the words of Jesus Christ himself. That's what you ought to be able to hear. Hear Jesus speaking to your heart. You ought to be able to see the anointing upon the messenger. You ought to be able to feel the anointing in your hearts, saved or unsaved. There ought to be that kind of power to go forth with the Word of God. The Scripture says one place where Jesus was speaking, it said he spoke with an authority that no other man spoke. Lord, help you and I this morning as we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we speak with an authority that comes from heaven. That people will understand what truth is and what truth is not. I thank God for the truth, folks. It has set me free. Paul's liberty here. He wasn't talking about giving himself liberty to the flesh. He wasn't talking about that at all. But he was trying to help those that were weak and lift them up. And try to be an encouragement and try to be a blessing to him. If you want to serve the flesh, God will give you your liberty and your moral freedom to serve the flesh. Won't he? He did me. I was saved as a young man and went out and went away from the Lord. He gave me my freedom to go and do as I chose. But I want to tell you something. If you choose to go that route, you will pay the penalty. I paid the penalty and paying the penalty for walking away from the Lord as a young man. If you choose to do that and take advantage of your liberty to live to the flesh, you will pay a penalty. There's a price to pay for that. Lord, help us today. One thing I know about God, He'll let us do as we please. He'll let us do as we please. Let's look at a scripture in Matthew. We're going to use Scripture. That's what this is all about this morning. Matthew, the 19th chapter, the 12th verse. Let's read the 11th and the 12th together. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. There are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. I said earlier, you must live your life according to your convictions and the way the Lord deals with you. You don't live your life the way someone else thinks you ought to live. That someone else needs to just take care of themselves. They got a big job. Each one of us have a big job taking care of ourselves. Rather than trying to go around putting my thoughts and my conviction and how I believe this and how I believe that on someone else. I say we leave that with God. We let the Holy Spirit do the work in the minds and the hearts of men and women. And we just stand in the place where God would have us to stand and keep our liberty in Jesus Christ. He said some of you not be able to believe it or to understand it. He doesn't require you and I, every one of us, to live a life. He doesn't require us to live a life, to live a life. Do you know there were things that he required of me 30 years ago that he doesn't require of me today? There's things that he requires of me today that he didn't require of me 30 years ago because of my understanding and my moral freedom and liberty that I have in Christ and the understanding that I have today. Folks, and I don't take that and I don't bind that on anyone else. The only thing I can bind on you is the Word of God. And really, I can't bind it, but God does. God binds His Word on each and every one of us. Some of us are able to remember that one place where Jesus says, I have many more things to say, but you can't receive them now. You can't. Lord knows when you can receive it. And He knows what you can't. But I want to tell every one of you this morning, I want to remind you something. He loves every one of us. He loves every one of you. He died for every one of you today. And I'm thankful that He did. Some aren't able to receive what others are able to receive. And some never will be able to receive what others have been able to receive. Believe that? It's true. Moral freedom, understanding, beliefs. Yeah, they got those fellas convinced that if you fly your plane in the towers and kill all those infidels, that you'll go out in eternity and meet your virgin. They'll never get me to believe that kind of stuff. He'll never get me to give my life for something like that. Will he you? Of course not. We have greater understanding than that. Thank the Lord. But folks, He will get me to endeavor to live a holy life and a godly life and to give my life for Him because He gave His life for me. He will get me to do that because His Spirit witnesses to my spirit that we're the sons of God. That's what Scripture says. He witnesses to our spirit. Oh, there's people that God requires things of them. And they feel like, well, oh, you know what? God requires this of me, so He must require it of everyone. No, He doesn't. No, He doesn't. There's many things that the Word of God is silent upon. You want to come along and tell me, well, I just don't believe that a saint ought to vote. Don't put that conviction on me. Don't put it on me. I don't believe that a saint ought to do this. And don't put that on me. I have more freedom. It's God's glory that He gave to me. He gave me that right to choose for myself. But if you come along and say the Word of God says that you need to do this or that, that I'll take. And that I'll accept. And yet I will take that to God and ask Him how to apply that to my own life. Not your life, but to my own life. It's a mistake. And folks, and I have to say this because so many do it. It seems like it's such a human thing. It's a mistake to try to bind on everyone else what you have learned that pleases God in your life. You understand what I'm saying? Those things that God is requiring of you and He wants you to live that way, you can't put that on someone else. You can't make that the law. You can't make that the gospel. You might come along and believe, well, you know, I just think it's a little superfluous that saints should not have swimming pools in their backyard. Folks, where do you find that in the Word of God? You can't bind that on someone else. If God requires that of you, you better not put a swimming pool in your backyard. But don't bind it on me. I don't have a swimming pool. Don't bind it on me. Folks, God deals with us each one individually. Because He's given us the moral liberty, the moral freedom to choose what we want to choose to believe. Even if it's wrong. Even if it's wrong. You know, if God's shown you that you need to do a certain thing in your life, and you come along and tell me that I need to do it too, if God wants you to do something in your life, He's going to give you the grace to do it. Think about this. You come along and you tell me this is the way you ought to live too, and you don't have a bit of grace to give me to live that. You don't have a bit of grace to help me to live what God has told you to live by. Whatever God requires of us, He will give us the grace. He'll give you grace. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the courage. He'll give you the help. But don't bind it on me, because you don't have any grace to give me. And when God comes along, and if He chooses to bind it on me, I will accept that. As long as I know it's from God, then it was sent by His Holy Spirit. Folks, I'm a firm believer for staying out of the Holy Spirit's way. Firm believer in that. I'm a firm believer that there's a place in your life, there's a place in your heart that God says, Larry, you stay out of there. That's mine. There's a place that God has in each and every one of us that God says, that's mine. And we're all to stay out of that place. It's God's place to deal with us. Jesus said it was expedient that He go away, that He would send the Spirit of truth to lead us and guide us into the truth. You know you can live one way and I can live another way and we can both still go to heaven as long as there's holiness in the life that we're living. You can do things in your life that I cannot do. I can do things that you cannot do. And as long as we're following the Word of God and living a holy life, folks, we can all go to heaven. Now, I didn't say you go to your church and I'll go to mine and we'll all get there to heaven. I didn't say that. But I'm saying you live a holy life and you live to your convictions. If that's what God... I got some of the convictions. You want me to put them on you? You want me to tell you what you shouldn't do? Oh, I can stand here and tell you what I can't do. But it isn't for you. It's for me. Because God knows what it's going to take to get me to heaven. And He knows what it's going to take to get you to heaven. He knows those things. But I'm thankful this morning that He's given us that right. It's a right. It's a privilege. And you know, really, if let's just say for talking principles here, that I was some kind of a hard ruler here, and I told every one of you got to believe this, and you got to accept that, and you got to do this, and you got, how long are you going to sit under something like that? People appreciate their liberty. We appreciate our freedom, don't we? And we really, really don't like someone else telling us what to do. But I want to tell you folks this morning, the Word of God tells us what to do. And we better do what the Word of God says. But you and I need to stay out of each other's lives. We need to stay out of each other's way. Pray for one another. Support one another. Love one another. But don't put your convictions on me. And I won't put mine on you. Because God has given us the right to moral freedom, to moral liberty in the Lord. And I'm thankful for it. Every one of us in our walk with the Lord must be sure. You must be sure that we get your understanding from God and not from someone else. There's a lot of books out there. There's a lot of things in print. There's a lot of things that people believe. And the things that people believe are misleading and misguiding. And the devil is using them for one purpose, and that is to deceive souls. You want to know where God is? It's where His Spirit is. That's where God is. It's where His Spirit is. And you can tell a man's spirit. You can tell a congregation's spirit. You can tell whether God is there or not. You can tell who's the people that's heart is on fire for God. You can tell the people that are serious about living right before. You can tell those kind of things. We can discern them, can't we? Even sinners can discern them, folks. I've seen it happen. Even sinners can discern them. Our experience, my experience, your experience must be based on the convictions of your heart that you've received from God Himself. I think there's a scripture that says something about His Word is written in our hearts. His Word is written in our hearts, folks. I don't want to see anyone go away and get confused like folks that I've seen confused. You know those dear ones that I knew and loved and grew up with our children? The ones that went here and went there and listened to this one and listened to that one. And whenever they came down to die, I was there. I was there. When they came down to die. I don't know what's right. I don't know what is truth. And you know what the sad thing is? That's sad. The sad thing of it is, I grew up with their children. And every one of them, their children are just as confused as they were. Grew up in the same congregation I did. Taught by the same pastor that I was taught by. But because Daddy did it, and he came home and he taught his family, they grew up and they were confused. And I don't know if there's any of them that are established in the truth today. But he's got a lot of them out there. They've got a lot of them out there, and I still know them. I still love them. I still care about them. But folks, when God sends the delusion, you're deluded. There isn't anything you and I can do about it. You know that? Wouldn't you love to be able to go up to someone and just grab them by the ears and say, listen to me. The Bible teaches this. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches this. No, I don't want to do that. But you know, if you could, it wouldn't change them. If people believe what you want them to believe, they're not doing it for the right reason. And they'll never be established in truth. They'll never be established in righteousness if they don't get a hold of God for themselves. That's what they're going to have to do, isn't it? It's what they're going to have to do. We got to do it from a righteous principle in our hearts. The Word of God must be a mighty working force in our hearts and lives. Not because of what some man said. You know, there's people that have taken a part of the Word of God and they've made a religion out of it. You know, and Lord help me hear this. Boy, I don't want to get in trouble, but the people out there that believe that you speak with tongues, that if you don't speak with tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. You didn't get any. Folks, where's that at in the Scriptures? And yet they base practically their whole belief on something like that. That is their foundation. Folks, I teach divine healing. The Bible teaches divine healing. But that's not what we really are. We're salvation. Salvation is the number one thing that we believe. And that we teach. I don't go out and try to find a convert on the corner and say, you know, you really need to trust God for this. You really need to do. No, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. That's what it's all about. It isn't about whether I can speak with a foreign tongue or a strange tongue and gibberish and all. It isn't about those kind of things, is it? But we have our moral freedom. Saints, guard it. It's precious. It's precious. People come along all the time wanting to tell you something, whisper something in your ear. Devil wanting to whisper something in your ear. Listen. If we teach here plainness of dress, divine healing, if we teach the church of God, and we teach a holy life. And we look around us. And the people are getting more worldly all the time. And there's very little sick that are being healed. And the people are losing sight of the church. Oh, but we're teaching it. Maybe it's because we're teaching the principle. We're teaching the theory. We're teaching what the Bible says. But that's all that it ever is made in the minds of people is a theory. That's what you believe. That's not what I want to believe. And I can preach it and teach it right out of the... I can do it, folks. With the help of the Lord, I can do it right out of the Word of God. I can lay it down, line upon line, precept upon precept, right out of the Word of God. But if it's just a theory in someone's mind, and it never becomes a burning in the soul, there won't be any sick healed. There won't be any vision of the church. You understand what I'm saying? How are we handling the Word of God today? How are we handling it? You know what God told Ezekiel? He said, "You just unto them was a very lovely song." How many times have ministers among us, after services, camp meetings, or wherever, maybe even in their own congregation, "Boy, brother, that was a wonderful message. That was a good message." But is it just a theory? Or did you really get it applied to the heart? Is it burning in the soul? That's important. Folks, that's important. We can teach till we're blue in the face, and people still not getting it. Because they're not getting it in their hearts. We got to get it in our hearts, folks. The devil's taking advantage of us here, right along this line. We see people, I've seen them, perhaps you've seen them too, go to camp meetings. I've been to so many meetings in my life, preached a lot of meetings in my life. I've seen people go to the altar laughing and get up. Folks, that's not conversion. That's not godly sorrow. And I'm talking about sinners. I've seen them go to the altar laughing, smile, big smile. Now, when that smile's on their face after they're saved, that I can accept. Because there's been a change of heart. There's been a change of heart. But today we see things that are called conversions, things that are called sanctification. And yet, when you look upon the situation, it seems so cold and so lifeless. There's no real power that was gotten there at that altar. And whenever we go and come that way, there's little joy that is created down in the heart. Very little joy, because there really hasn't been any great change. Great change, folks. We need a great change today. People aren't getting it. But you know what? Moral freedom. They have a right to hear it, and they have a right to reject it. They have a right to go through the motions and yet not really get what God has for their soul. They have a right to that, don't they? Folks, I don't know about you, but I can look back on that time, on that night, down in LaRonge, Louisiana, many years ago. That when I got up from that altar, I can still feel the burning in my soul today. I still feel the burning. I can look back on my conversion, as we call it today, and I feel the burning. It's still going on today. I got more than just the theory, but I got it down in my heart, and it changed my life. And it gives me victory today to overcome the things that the enemy would use to overcome me. There's some life in what I got. And I thank the Lord for it. And I'm sure there's others here. In order for you and I, folks, to get something from God, there's got to be a heart conviction. I've said it now several times, and I hope you remember it. There's got to be a heart conviction. There's got to be a heart changing. And as I said before, and I want to reiterate this one more time. I don't like repeating myself. But folks, when preaching goes forth, it should be so anointed today that people hear the voice of Jesus in the voice of the preacher. Listen for Jesus' voice. Listen to Him talk to your heart. Listen to Him teach you. Listen to Him give you understanding. How will they hear without a preacher? I guess God has chosen, that's His chosen way, in this gospel dispensation of time, to use a man to preach the gospel. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God. Folks, this is God's power here. The power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth. There needs to be a change. There needs to be something that comes within you and causes a burning and a desire that sets you on the right road and the right path, and you begin to have a love and a desire and a hunger and a thirsting for the truth, for more of God in your heart and in your life. You just want more and more. Seem like you never can get enough. I've been in more services probably than anyone here in this chapel today in my life. I'll be glad to go to another one anytime. I look forward to it. I don't know, maybe it's just me. You know, when I'm sitting there and I know I'm not going to preach, I'm sitting there wondering, Lord, what do you got for us this time? What are you going to say to me this time? What is it going to be about? Lord, you know my heart. You know my life. You know what needs to be changed. You know what you want to do. Lord, I'm hungry. I want to know what you're going to talk about. What you're going to tell me. You ever been that way? I'm that way. I am. Go to Monarch, wherever I go. Lord, what are you going to say to me today? What have you got for me now? Because I'm hungry. Come hungry. Come thirsty. Jesus said, he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. He'll fill it. You know, I've never been disappointed. I've always been filled with something. It seemed like that no matter what the needs are out there, the Lord knows how to take every message and give you the need that you have, supply the need that you have. He knows how to take the Word of God, like this morning, for instance. I know that He's going to take this Word today. He's going to supply your need and your need and your need, and He's going to work with each and every one of us. Something is going to be there for you if you'll have your ears open and have your heart open to receive it. That's God, folks. God does that for us. Galatians, second chapter. Started in Galatians. Galatians 2 and 20. Paul again says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Oh, folks, if you've been crucified with Christ this morning, it isn't your life that you're living. Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I still am a free moral creature. I still have the right to make my choices. But after the Lord came into my heart and life, Larry don't live this life. Christ lives His life in us today. And He's made alive in you and I today. And that gives us that hungering and thirsting and desire for just more and more of Him, doesn't it? Because we've been crucified with Christ. I want the Lord to live out His will through me. And I'm sure you do too. We want Him to live out His will, His purpose, in every one of our lives. You know, I'm about to finish here by the help of the Lord. I'm not going to turn over and read it, but it's Colossians 3 and 17. Paul said, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord. Don't do it in the name of Larry or Clint or in the name of a man. Everything you do, do it all. That ought to be your reason for doing it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, maybe sometimes as I look around, I wonder if there's too much doing of things because others do them. There's some folks today doing things because others do them. Folks, if you want to go jump off a cliff, you go help yourself. But Larry's not going to jump off a cliff just because you did. If you want to believe stuff that I know that's not true, that has been witnessed in my heart, you go ahead and believe it. No, I'm not going to believe it. Everything you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our moral, this is important, our moral freedom is not a license. I don't have a license to impose anything on anyone else. It's not a license to do whatever I want to do. It's not a license to live any way that I want to live. I hope I've proved that with the Word of God this morning. Folks, it's not a license for me to say I can go and live any way I want to, and when I die, I'll go to heaven. It's not a license for that. But whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is of utmost importance that we get things from God for ourselves. My last text, I want to read it. I want us to look at some scripture here. Romans. The book of Romans in the 14th chapter. Him that is weak, this is scripture now. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another, who is weak, just eateth herbs. One believes that he can eat anything. The other believes that you shouldn't eat this and you shouldn't eat that, you just eat herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Now here's our moral freedom. Here's our moral liberty. If I believe it's okay to eat a pig, I can eat a pig. I have that moral right to do that. The Bible doesn't condemn me. God does not condemn me for eating pork. And if all I want to eat is just beans and lentils and vegetables and those kind of things, or fish, I have a liberty to do that too. And you don't judge me, Paul said. We don't judge one another. It's what you believe. It's what you have conviction on. And I would never impose my conviction on yours and tell you, well, what you're doing is wrong or what you believe is wrong. If that's what you believe and that's what you want to stand by, you do that. But don't judge me, because I eat meat. That's what Paul's saying here. Who art thou that judgest? Wait a minute. Yeah, that judgest another man's servant. To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. If you esteem one day better and higher than another, and it's not the same day that I esteem, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. You give me my moral liberty and I'll give you yours. I remember back when I was working on the job, I worked second shift there before I retired by choice. And there was a man that I worked with, and on Friday nights, it was something about his religion that he needed to go home and pray something before sundown, whatever it was, because Saturday was his holy day, and that the company allowed him to go and do those things. The company was gracious enough to do that. Folks, I didn't condemn the man. Paul said here, he's telling us, folks, we have our liberties today. One man esteemeth one above another, one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Yes. Folks, I'm a believer this morning that the Bible says to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. And I believe that. But folks, under the dispensation of Jesus Christ and His teachings, I believe every day ought to be a holy day. I have that liberty in Christ. I have it. you can't take it from me. You can try, but you can't. I have that liberty. And I have it in Jesus Christ. Not in a man. Not what some man teaches. Or some people teach. But I got it in Christ. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. You see, that's their convictions. That's what they believe. And they regard it unto the Lord. So be it. I won't impose my conviction on them. And I would appreciate they didn't impose their conviction on me. He that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not. And giveth God thanks, for none of us live to himself, and no man dies to himself. The thing of it is that what your conviction was and what my conviction was, I'm giving God thanks. This is the limitation of what I believe. You know, what you believe can limit you. And this is what I believe. But I regard it and give thanks unto the Lord. You can't condemn me for that. But folks, if that all comes down and brings out a spirit within me that is not of God, something is wrong with what I believe. Is that right? That causes a spirit to be produced within me that does not act out in a holy and a godly way. Something is wrong with what I believe. Amen. That's the truth, folks. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we're the Lord's. Thank God for that. I don't want to be brought into bondage by no one. I don't want to be brought under bondage by legalism. People want to be so legalistic. Well, this says this, and this says that. Folks, I'm standing fast in the liberty this morning that I have in Jesus Christ. And I won't accept legalism. This is not a way of legalism puts you back into bondage. And I don't want to go back under that yoke of bondage that Paul talked about. But I want to accept Christ. God wants godly living. That's what He wants from you and I. I want to look at, right here in this same chapter, I said this is my last text. The 22nd verse. Paul says this to us. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is the man that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. Can you wrap your mind around that? I'm going to say it this way. Keep your convictions between yourself and God. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself. Don't put your convictions on me, and I shall not put my convictions on you. Have it to thyself, and happy is the man that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I'm going to leave you with this little comment. You are to live in the presence of God. That's how we should live our life every day. And you are to live by what He requires of you. Be very careful about judging someone else. Jesus told us, judge not, that you be not judged. Pretty much, you can count on someone that is coming along to judge us has a beam in their eye bigger than the moat that's in mine. Lord, help us this morning. You and I don't know enough. We're not pure enough. But there's one that is. Jesus Christ judges us from His perfection, folks. And that's the one that judges me. That's the one that judges you. The Bible tells us in the Scriptures to work out your own soul's salvation. But I want you to be aware this morning, if you're not aware of anything else, the most glorious endowment that God give the creatures, man and woman, humankind, is the moral freedom that we have. Man has fought for that all down through the centuries of time. It's very precious. And it's very important to us. You consider what's been said this morning. You consider your own convictions, your own walk with the Lord, as long as it's founded on the principles of God's written word, you're good. I think you're saved if it's founded on the principles of God's written word. May the Lord help us this morning. Thank you for your time and attention.